Welcome to the Minnesota Beer Cast. I am Drew. That is my co-host, Schmitty.
That's me.
And we are at Three Squares Restaurant in Maple Grove.
Beautiful Maple Grove, Minnesota.
Beautiful suburban Maple Grove. Another fine Blue Plate establishment.
Thanks to Blue Plate for sponsoring the show and for having us here at a wonderful Bell's event. We're here for Dark Night, Darker Beers.
Yeah, this is a really cool event. They got a fantastic list of very dark beers. available. But, you know, the nights are getting longer. We're getting to the time of year where the nights are the longest nights of the year, so why not enjoy some very dark beers on these dark nights?
I love this time of year because it does get cold, it does get dark, and, you know, you just want to stay inside and start a fire and, you know, find a honey to cozy up with on the couch and open up a bottle of nice, big, boozy, dark beer. That's kind of how I do.
So thank you to Steve from Blue Plate for inviting us out for this. We really appreciate it. If you obviously can't make it tonight, and if you're listening, it already happened. But some of these beers will certainly be on tap over the weekend. So head on up to Maple Grove. Hit up Three Squares. The food here is amazing.
We've got some fantastic guests on the show coming up. We've got Shelly from Studio Distilling. We've got Matt from Bauhaus. And joining us now, we've got Andy from Bell's. How you doing, Andy?
Fantastic.
So anybody worth their salt who knows beer, knows Bell's. But, you know, maybe there's some folks who need an introduction. Maybe there's some folks who need a bit of a reintroduction.
Sure.
Tell us about the Bell's beer. Give us the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. Like, as the craft beer world expands, maybe people aren't familiar with us. So a little bit about us. We're still 100% independent and family-owned brewery. We started as a business in Kalamazoo, Michigan, in 1983, as Kalamazoo Brewing Company, a home brewing supply store.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, we sold our first beer as Bell's Brewery, kind of still Kalamazoo Brewing Company, with Bell's being attached to it, and then kind of made its way just to Bell's Brewery eventually. But so we're basically 35 years old since the day that Larry Bell incorporated the company as a youngin. So, yeah, he's family-owned and independent, which is the biggest thing that we're very proud of.
He's kind of a figurehead of the craft beer industry. I mean,
definitely.
He's a very legendary figure for a lot of reasons. Have you met Larry? Is he a friend of yours? You guys text message?
Yeah. Larry's a busy guy, and but the great thing about Larry and, you know, kind of being an icon and running a large-ish company, when we're in town in Kalamazoo for sales meetings, and he will be there, and he will have conversation with us. We'll have a happy hour with Larry at least once a week while we're there for sales meetings, and he will make a point to be available and talk to you. And he's a great conversationalist. He's hilarious. Has an opinion on everything, which is fantastic. You know,
walk us through the main core beers of the Bell's lineup.
The one that everyone knows, whether you've had one or not, is Two Hearted Ale. It's our best-selling beer. It's the number one rated IPA or craft beer in the country by 2 years in a row by the American Homebrewers Association. It's the one that really people identify our brewery by.
That one's really a gateway kind of craft beer, too.
I mean, the benchmark IPA.
People, that might have been one of their first, if not their first, sort of non-macro beer.
Like, if you go to a bar and you're not really sure what you want, but you see things that you recognize. I don't know that. Coors Light, Summit EPA, Bell's Two Hearted, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. There are things that
the stalwart
people associate with craft beer and that they know of. Yeah. They've heard about it, whether they've had it or not. Two Hearted is one of those.
I was enjoying Bell's Two Hearted before I knew the craft beer boom was even a thing.
Yeah, before craft beer was called craft beer, it was just beer.
Microbrews.
Yeah. Microbrews.
Well, you mentioned, you know, like Sierra Nevada, it went through some beers that to me are really akin to Bell's and Two Hearted specifically, where if you're in a bar and there's 50 beers, which that's a whole other conversation if a place should really have 50 beers or 100 beers on.
Yeah.
But if you see a bunch of stuff you're not familiar with, and you know that you want a quality beer,
yep.
you know that you can rely on Two Hearted being
yep.
a certain standard.
Absolutely. It's the same
not,
beer
it's
that,
that
you
way
had
with,
last time.
With every beer, and even locally, beers really go up and down.
Yeah.
And they don't have the consistency that I think Bell's is known for.
Yeah. It's just quality consistency is at the core of what we do. Just making a quality product every single time.
So after Two Hearted, what's next on the list of core
yeah.
beers?
A lot of people don't realize that when we started our brewery, we kicked it off with Amber Ale. And what's the name of your Amber Ale? It's called Amber Ale. You know, in the 80s, there wasn't a need to make like these very superfluous names. So,
right.
We made, it was originally called Great Lakes Amber Ale.
Mm-hmm.
We shortened it to Amber Ale some time later. But it's the very first beer we ever brewed, and we still brew it. And I like to call it the IPA drinker's Amber Ale. It's got a very clean bitterness at the very end of the palate. It doesn't beat you over the head with hops. It's not the point of that beer. That showcase is on the very slight, bready, biscuity malt, little caramel note. It's a very clean bitterness at the end. And so I would encourage people to try that. You'll find that in stores. One of the beers that's early beers for us that's on tap tonight is our porter.
Yeah.
That came out in the very early on in our history. Kalamazoo Stout, we still brew. It's also an early recipe. Lager of the Lakes was a little bit later. It came around in the early 2000s, mid-2000s maybe. Oarsman, which is my favorite beer that we make. It's a very light, tart, sessional wheat beer. And we were playing around with that around 2003.
Okay.
So not a lot of session beers out there. Certainly not a lot of sours or tarts or anything like that. We're, I think, a little bit ahead of the curve on both ends, on session and sour.
Yeah.
In a way. It's not really sour, but
right.
a light tart.
Tart, yeah. Tart, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then next year, early next year, we're adding a new beer to our year-round portfolio called Official, and it's our Hazy IPA.
Okay.
So we're still innovating. We're still trying to make, we want to make beer that people want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to, that core portfolio, that core brand is, it's going to change. You know, the Bell's way, you know, but also keeping up with some times.
So how difficult is it? I'm assuming you guys are going to have that beer in cans, and I heard a rumor that Bell's is going to be national possibly next year. Is that accurate, or is that just...
Not next year.
Not next year, but...
It is a goal.
Hopefully sometime.
Yeah, it is a goal.
In the near future.
In I would say we're in 40 states right now. We rounded out...
I was going to say, you got to be pretty close to national...
40
already.
States came this summer. We rounded out with Colorado in September, and then we did a slew of New England states, Maine, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, etc. To round out like 8 states in the over the course of the summer.
You should like leave out one state.
Well, like
just out of spite.
But
just like, be like
but,
leave out
well,
one state.
That one state that we're really trying to work on is Oklahoma.
That might work. Oklahoma doesn't deserve your beer.
If you look at our map, we're all around, we're everywhere around Oklahoma, just not there. It's like,
Oklahoma's
we're going to get you.
Oklahoma is making strides to really rectify some of their really goofy beer laws.
Exactly. That's the reason. And same thing with New Jersey. They had some pretty goofy beer laws that I don't know if they changed or not, or we just said, hey, we'll deal with it. We'll just go there.
Yeah.
But we rounded out that. But that's the reason why we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I would say at some point we will be in at least the lower 48. Beyond that, I couldn't give you a timeline. I think Larry likes it that way, too.
So my question was, is being a brewery that's aspiring to be national, or at least the lower 48, how difficult is it to put out a hazy IPA in a can like that? Is it difficult to keep that particulate in suspension?
With our beer, since it's au naturel, it's not filtered, we don't put flour or any kind of coagulant or anything that in the beer to keep it in suspension, it is natural, so it will take a little bit of rousing, like a little gentle shake on the bottle or the keg or the can, but it's going to have that beautiful light haze.
I think
it's a challenge, but we've been tweaking it for almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
We've had different different versions, and it's always like Larry's latest IPA, and we'll tweak it. Like some, it was going to be a wheat IPA. We changed gears altogether and decided, hey, we're going to make it a hazy.
Mm-hmm.
But that recipe has basically been worked on for a better part of 2 years, whether it be trial runs at the Centric Cafe or test kegs in our market. But we finally got that recipe. This is taking some time.
We are up against a break. We're chatting with Bells. We've got Shelly from Studio Distilling hanging out as well. Let's come back. We'll run through some of what's being offered here at Three Squares tonight, plus maybe get into a few news items before chatting with Studio Distilling. This is the Minnesota Beer Cast presented by Freehouse Beer. We'll be right back.
Rosie here. I want to take a minute to brag about my friends at Blue Plate. November 5th through the 15th, they are participating in Eat to the Max, their 10-day version of Give to the Max, benefiting nonprofit People Serving People, a local organization dedicated to ending homelessness. Consider visiting their restaurants November 5th through the 15th and make a donation, which Steph Schimp and the great folks at Blue Plate will match, up to $10,000. Blue Plate restaurants have raised over $75,000 for People Serving People. Stop by one of their 8 restaurants and eat to the max.
Okay, welcome back to the Minnesota Beer Cast, recording at Three Squares in Maple Grove. I didn't say recording live. I said recording.
Well, when you record, you're always live.
Shut up. again, thanks to the Blue Plate folks for having us out here. Hey, before we get back into it, we got a really cool
dude, this thing is awesome. This is awesome.
That we're brewing here.
I see what you did.
That we're working on. We're going to make a formal announcement here in the next couple of weeks. Probably, I want to say maybe January 3rd or 4th.
We'll do it
like
after the holidays.
Right after the holidays. I got a little vacation coming up. Get back from vacation. But I want to put a bug in the listener's ear right now. Start thinking about next fall. Start thinking about Oktoberfest. Start thinking about Munich. We put all those things together. We might be working on something really cool, specifically and exclusively for listeners of the Minnesota Beer Cast.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I've been going over some of the details of what we're planning and what we're working on, and it's really mind-blowing.
I can't wait.
So,
keep do you guys it, just want a tax write-off on your trip to Germany?
That's kind of the plan.
No harm.
So, stay tuned. Again, keep an ear out for that January 3rd, January 4th episode, something around there, for full details. But start thinking about making your plans now. Clear your calendar.
Yep. Keep Oktoberfest open.
Yeah, late September, early October.
Any other plugs you want to get into?
Yeah, we can plug the iHeartRadio app real quick. It really is the best way to follow the show and stay on top of new episodes. Just download the free and easy iHeartRadio app. Click on the little podcast button. Type in Minnesota BeerCast. There's an option to follow us there. So you do that, and you will get notifications every time new episodes are uploaded. All of our past episodes are archived there. And, of course, you can always listen to us live through that same app on the iHeartRadio app on Twin Cities News Talk, Thursday nights at 8, Friday nights at 8 when we don't have Gopher Hockey.
That's how I do it. I listen to us live.
Of course. It's really the best one. Why do you want to wait?
Let's get
Spend
back.
Time with me.
Let's get back into the beer conversation. We're joined by Andy from Bell's. We've got Shelly sitting in from Studio Distilling. Last segment, we kind of talked about the core portfolio of Bell's. We kind of left off talking about hazy IPAs. It feels like we can't go a week without talking about hazy IPAs. But we have not mocked or derided them yet this week, so yeah. I feel like we've got
I
at least a streak going there.
Them. I'm a fan of the hazy.
At least you know a Bell's hazy is going to be really good.
You know, it was funny. I think the most clever thing I heard about somebody trying to keep the hazy IPA hazy when they throw it in cans is shipping it upside down. So when it gets stocked, it automatically gets agitated,
yeah.
And they put it back up on the shelves. I thought that was really clever. But we want to talk about dark beers, of course. We are here for the Dark Night Darker Beers extravaganza at Three Squares. I've got a delicious 30th anniversary Expedition Stout in my glass. Why don't you walk us through all the different beers that are being offered here, Andy?
Yeah. So this is a really great tap. Yeah. Actually, I know them by heart, but I'll take it in case I mess it up. So this is an event that
just
really has a...
Don't swipe.
Yeah.
Just do...
Not left, not right. So we have a nice variety of dark beers, stouts, and porters. So one of them being one of our early core brands, Porter, Bell's Porter. That one's a nice, robust porter. Nice little hop bitterness, clean hop sharpness at the very end of the palate. It's moderate alcohol content. It's exactly what you want in a porter. You know, nothing fancy, but really well executed.
Mm-hmm.
Arabica Dabra, which is a pretty new beer for us, came out, I want to say like last year was the first year for it. Kind of an extension of our old Java stout. Arabica Dabra is made with 100% Arabica coffee beans, so the coffee flavor really, really comes out
it's
of that beer.
It's a great coffee bean. I love Arabica.
If you're a coffee freak, try this beer. We also throw in a little bit of lactose or milk sugar, so that a nice little smooth body to it, and it's relatively sessionable at 5.5%.
Do you know how you add the coffee component to that beer?
I wish I could tell you. I feel it might be like a cold brew, just added post fermentation, but really don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I think that's the way a lot of folks do it.
Yeah, because we don't want the caffeine to come through. We want the coffee flavor without a lot of caffeine. There is a trace of caffeine, from what I've been told.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Uppers and downers.
Yeah, it's good enough for Elvis.
Yeah, right. Expedition Stout, which is a very early beer for us. I think we started brewing that in the 80s as well. It's been a long staple, maybe 90s. It's been a staple of our stout portfolio.
For sure.
It's a Russian Imperial Stout with like big, bold notes of chocolate and coffee. And probably, honestly, most people don't think about it, but one of our most highly hopped beers. To balance out all that roastedness and chocolate and coffee notes from the malt, we got to have that hop component.
Otherwise, it'd be like drinking syrup.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
We have 30th Anniversary Cherry Stout, which
that's what I got.
That's what you're drinking. That one is basically the 30th anniversary of us brewing that beer of regular cherry stout. It started off as a homage to Home Brewing Club in Kalamazoo. Larry gave them a little nod, like, hey, you know what? I like what you're doing. I'm going to make something in honor of you guys, or just to, like, it's a big thing, or the cherry stout seems to be a big thing because Michigan is known for cherries.
Yeah.
So we get our cherry juice from the Traverse City region and not quite... Well, northern Michigan, but depending on how you look at it, if it's below the bridge, that's still not northern. But from a few hours north of the Kalamazoo area.
Okay.
But kind of keep it in the Michigan realm. And that one's been a very big staple of our stout portfolio for 30 years. So this is like an imperial version made with whole cherries instead of hairy juice. So a little bit cherry stout on steroids. We have Bell's Porter. And then two beers I'm really excited about because they never, ever come out of Michigan or out of the Center Cafe would be Trumpeter Stout and Bear Hug Imperial Stout. So Trumpeter Stout is a dry hop stout. It's a very sessionable, maybe like, I think like 5% ABV.
I don't think
nice
I've ever
dry
had
hop.
A dry hop stout.
Or no, excuse me, it's not dry hop, it's a session stout. Bear Hug is the dry hop stout.
Okay.
So it's got a nice, Bear Hug has a nice hop aroma and a hop clean, hop bite, but it's very well balanced out with that deep roasted malt. So those two beers never really make it outside of Kalamazoo, so I'm pretty happy to have them here.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I'm going to have to try the Bear Hug before, before
it's
the
like a Bear
over.
Hug. In a beer.
Right?
But I mean, I think like this event is pretty great to do for Bell's because we kind of built our brewery a lot on stouts and malty beers. Before IPAs became in vogue, we were making a lot of our core portfolio start off with malty beers. So this is a great way to kind of pay homage to our history.
Yeah, well, I feel that sometimes that side of beer gets neglected a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, people get a bit hop crazy.
Yeah. Everybody wants the latest hop bomb.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, everybody wants the latest
I love IPAs.
Beer or the hazy IPA, but I mean, these nice, deep, rich, malty beers are just, they're a thing of beauty.
Yeah, that's a great event here, too, because it's like a natural extension. It was, for years prior, it was Dark in Glass, and that was an event set up well before I came on board with Bell's, and once I came on board, I wanted to continue that here at Three Squares. So I got to give a shout-out to Chad Chase and Arlo. from Blue Plate.
Very good. Should we? Do we have time to run into some news before we hit the next segment?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. If you give me 1 second here, I can pull up my news tab because I didn't have it open. What do you see? Which one do you want to hit?
Why don't we do the first one? I'd love to hear Andy's opinion on this one. Maybe we'll put him on the hot seat, or we can always ask Shelley's opinion too.
Yeah, we can.
The Brewers Association has some board updates and craft brewer definition. Okay, craft brewer definition from the Brewers Association. Go away, ad. An American craft brewer is a small and independent brewer. Small means annual production of 6 million barrels of beer or less, approximately 3% of U.S. annual sales. Beer production is attributed to a brewer according to rules of alternating proprietorships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Independent, less than 25% of the craft brewery is owned or controlled by a beverage alcohol industry member that is not itself a craft brewer.
Mm.
They've defined independent as such.
Mm-hmm.
And then brewer has a TTB brewer's notice and makes beer. Yeah. Thank you for adding that part.
Gotta state the obvious.
Yeah, I don't know. What does that change from the previous year? Does the alternating proprietorship definition change, or was the... I know traditional was included at one point in time, and they pulled that language out because who cares how traditional your beer is as long as the beer is good. Yeah, you know, it's their association, so however they choose to define the members within their association.
It sounds like this is the Fourth Amendment mm-hmm. to the definition, and it sounds like this was done to be more inclusive.
Sure.
To expand, because one of the things they dropped was traditional, because, and what they say here is, craft brewers seeking new sources of revenue have created new products that do not fit the traditional definition of beer.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Such as spiked waters?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
I'm just asking, it's like, trying to feel out what you guys think too.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I forget what they call the product where it's pretty much neutral. It's neutral malt alcohol product, right? I can't think of what the name of it is, but it's the stuff they're making seltzer flavored spiked water out of. Yeah. So you know, like I said, it's good for them. It's their association. If you know, changing the definition is more inclusive and it brings more membership in and gives them more power for the craft beer members and be it that marketing and lobby and all the more power to them.
Yeah. You know, they got to evolve too. I mean, the fun thing about the explosion of craft beer, and we're seeing it with craft spirits as well, is that innovation. Is that, I mean, you know, I would have never known that I liked hazy IPAs if it weren't for craft brewers. You know, I mean, so many different styles and so many new things have come to market, and some of it's not for everybody, but it wouldn't be there if it didn't have an audience, right?
I guess so. I think we're, are we coming up on a break?
We are up on a break. Shelley has been very patient. We're going to get into to her product and her story coming up next in the next segment. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. We'll back to the Minnesota Beer Cast. We are at Three Squares Restaurant in beautiful Maple Grove, enjoying the Bell's Darkened Glass event.
It's always a good time to be entertained by the folks from Freehouse and the associated restaurants.
That's right. Of course, this episode is brought to us by our friends from Freehouse Beer. We really appreciate the invite to... this is my first time to Three Squares, so I'm very much enjoying it, and this is a fantastic beer list that they've curated for us.
Yes indeed. But we're going to switch the conversation from beer to spirits. We are joined by Shelley from Studio Distilling. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Studio Distilling, kind of a new entry into the Minnesota craft distillery, craft, what's the word I'm thinking of? Distilling.
Craft spirits.
Craft
yeah.
spirits. That's,
yeah, yeah.
That's the word I was blanking on. Thanks, Schmitty. Thanks for bailing me out there. Kind of a new entry into the scene. Welcome. And thanks
Thank
for
you.
Joining us.
Yeah. I mean, we've been around for a while, but we've only been open to the public since July. But yeah. obviously, whiskey takes a long time to make, so we've been around a lot longer than people know.
How long ago did this process start?
I've been on the project for almost 3 years, and there was Brad, our founder, started it a couple years before then. But yeah, it's a labor of love. It takes a long time.
So give us the history, kind of the rundown of Studio Distilling and how it kind of came from concept to concrete.
So Brad Rolfs is our founder. He's the genius behind all the delicious whiskeys that we make. He had been doing actually homebrewing for a really long time, a couple decades, and got really interested in what can you do with beer other than just make beer. And mm-hmm. so we got into distilling. He got introduced to my husband, who runs a wonderful marketing firm called Brandography. He's like, hey, I need a logo. I need a website. Also, I need someone to help me do sales and marketing. Do you know of anyone? And I was working for my husband at the time, which you guys are married, working with your spouses, nightmare. Mm-hmm. I've always loved whiskey, and I said, hey, why don't you try me out, see if it works? And, you know, here we are almost 3 years later. I'm helping do the sales and marketing side. Brad makes the delicious whiskeys, so.
What's the role of somebody in the sales and marketing side during that process of ramping up? I mean, yeah. when you don't have a product to sell yet,
yeah.
you know, what was your role and what was that like?
Well, you know, I played, you know, someone who wore all the hats, so I did help do the equity raise to raise funds for the project. And I'm like a Liam Neeson, where I have that, like, incredible set of skills that makes me perfect for helping launch a whiskey distillery. I built my own house, so I was helpful in construction. I'm not afraid to get dirty. I mean, I'm a small woman, but, you know, I helped rent a forklift and put the still together, you know, help paint, help knock down walls. So it's a lot of non-sales and marketing stuff to start. But a lot of it's education, because craft spirits are very different than what the big guys are making. So just continuing to explain to people what the heck we're doing, why we're doing it, and why that's important.
How much did you know going into it about distilling and craft spirits? Was there an education process and a sort of a ramp up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been drinking whiskey from the beginning of time, but, you know.
Since I was a young girl.
Straight from the bottle, you know, whatever one that might be. But, I mean, I knew enough. I'm not a home brewer. My husband dabbles in it, so I understand a bit of the science. So for me, it was a lot of understanding why we do what we do, why grain to glass is important, why controlling the temperature of our yeast is important, things, you know, that I just didn't understand. And for me, too, it's always a learning process. Even though I feel I'm somewhat dangerous about whiskey, I go to new countries, I learn about new things, I need, you know, new flavors, new processes. So it's forever a learning curve, I think.
So you mentioned earlier that there's some education to be done with consumers when it comes to craft spirits versus spirits that are made on a macro level. Let's do a little bit of that educating right now. You've got an audience. What kind of lessons should we be teaching to the general consumers?
Well, I think, you know, we follow in the, you know, footsteps of the craft brewing industry. So although there is a time and place for the Millers and Coors and Buds of the world, it might be, you know, after mowing the lawn and in a very, you know, that's the only beer I have left in my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Same with spirits. It's, you know, there's these mass productions. They have to do, you know, they can only use certain caliber of materials because they're doing it at such a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
Where at a smaller scale, you know, you can see crazy stouts and porters and, you know, all these grains that you just can't get millions and millions of tons of. So we can take, you know, the care and time of doing things handcrafted. Again, we also say, like, the farm to table movement, knowing where things are coming from, thinking about, you know, doing stuff on a very small, handcrafted, thoughtful way.
Talking with Shelley from Studio Distilling. For those that might not be familiar, tell them where Studio Distilling is located, any website, any other information you want to give out.
Yeah, so you can find us at studiodistilling.com. www.blueplate.com. Pretty easy. Location-wise, we are right off of 280 and University in St. Paul, two blocks from our lovely friends at Urban Growler and Bang Brewing. So we've got some other, lovely craft products in the neighborhood.
It's quite the area now.
Yeah.
St. Paul is an actual destination, Drew.
It's an actual city. I mean, I never even really thought of it as that until very recently. There's like a reason to go there.
I'm there. That's reason enough.
You guys launched your first product back in July, a rye malt whiskey.
Yes.
And you have a launch event coming up this weekend, Saturday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're launching our bourbon whiskey. It's funny, I just got a Facebook message from a guy who said, is it true that you can only make bourbon in Kentucky? Said, no, sir, we're making bourbon right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. So no, it absolutely doesn't have to be made there. Again, education.
You can only make Kentucky bourbon in Kentucky.
Yes. Bourbon, if people don't know, it's from Bourbon County in Kentucky, so that's where it originated. But it's just whiskey made out of corn, nothing crazy. But ours, we think, is especially delicious, so we're very excited to let people try it. Everyone knows about bourbon. They have their own bourbon. They think they know what bourbon should taste like. So here's our spin on
what makes it. What makes yours especially delicious?
Well, our corn comes from Rosemount, so we're using local corn, which is great to support local farmers right here in Minnesota. We add two kinds of barley to give it some complexity. We have a two-row honey barley malt, and barley. It is malt, sorry. And then a six-row malt, and then we also add a little bit of rye malt, so as homage to our rye malt whiskey, it just adds a little bit of spice. And again, instead of just being like a one-note sweet that bourbon can be, it's got that, you know, nuanced, multi-level flavorings.
Yeah, it's fairly popular to use, the Minnesota 13 corn, is that correct? Do you guys use that in your product at all?
You know, we don't. That the best of my knowledge, that's my learning curve, is like, who knew how many types of corn there are? And that's where you got to ask our distiller the differences and why he picked the one he did. But I know the field corn that we use is really good for distillation. But yeah, I've heard of the Minnesota 13. There's some products named after it.
Yeah, it's I think it's got a pretty rich heritage here in Minnesota when it comes to distilling, and I think it's got some legacy in Prohibition as well. There's, it was pretty popular around that time period, if I'm not mistaken.
What do you mean? It was illegal. It couldn't have been popular. There's no way. It was prohibited.
Yeah, exactly. That's
nothing
the word.
Nothing illegal has ever happened around spirits, ever.
Yeah, nothing illegal has ever been popular.
No.
Well, folks should definitely go out to Studio Distilling December 22nd. You guys are going to be there from noon to 4 sampling the bourbon whiskey. And you're going to have food available for purchase from Full Belly Happy Heart in their food truck. You're going to have sales of your 375-milliliter bottles as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you brought some samples for us, is that right?
Absolutely.
Let's take a little break and have some of those samples. What do you think, Drew?
It sounds like a really brilliant idea. Yet another one of your fantastic production ideas, Schmitty.
You're welcome.
You are really the best co-host a man could ask for.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We're going to try a few samples from Studio Distilling again. That's this Saturday coming up, December 22nd, noon to 4, University and 280.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All right. And the website again?
StudioDistilling.com.
This is the Minnesota Beercast. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Final segment of this week's Minnesota Beercast, presented by our friends from Treehouse Beer. We are recording this episode at Three Squares, another fine Blue Plate establishment up in Maple Grove, for their Bells event. It's the Dark Nights, Darker Beers event that they're putting on together today, and we are very very grateful to be invited to take part in it and enjoy this fantastic beer list.
There may still be a few beers on after this if you're not here tonight. Then if you're not here, you made a poor choice. But you should get up here and see what's left.
Yeah, absolutely. And the food here is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a little... We got a little visit from the chef here during the break.
Yes, thanks, Chef Steve.
And also during the break, we were enjoying the samples from Studio Distilling. Really nice.
Yeah.
Really, I'm not much of a, I've never been much of a brown liquor guy. You know, it's like, I'm a beer guy, I like beer, that's what I drink. I've been known to drink some rum, been known to drink some other, you know, but this is nice and smooth, and it doesn't make me do that thing with my face.
Thank you.
that I sometimes do when I drink brown liquor, so nicely done.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, if you're liking beer, whiskey's made from beer, so you just got to keep trying.
Just got to keep trying. Oh, it's not that I, it's just not my go-to, you know. It's just, it's not my thing, but I don't dislike it.
That's your aspiration.
Yeah, it's all right. Whiskey. Nobody's perfect. I mean, we're not going to hold it against you.
You know what? Stevie Nicks is going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so you can just suck it.
As long as I don't have to listen, that's all right. If you want to put a goat into the Hall of Fame, that's...
come on.
That's, I mean...
She's a lovely woman.
She sings like a goat. She's. I'm sure she's lovely, but...
We have another guest here that we need to get to.
I'm sorry. We are joined by by Matt Schwant from Bauhaus. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
You regret walking into this conversation?
Where do you fall on the Stevie Nicks line? Are you pro Stevie Nicks? Are you anti Stevie Nicks?
You know what? I'm not really one way or the other, but I think that Rumors is probably one of the greatest albums ever recorded.
All right.
So I'll just make that comment.
Sounds...
You're a man of discerning taste.
Sounds like you got one on your side. I can't, you know, it's musical taste. I can't fault
everybody,
him for it.
Everybody's got into their own thing.
That's right.
You shouldn't judge.
Well, you guys have some really big news at Bauhaus. Tell us what's happening, Matt.
Yeah, so we just announced the other day that we've got a non-alcoholic beer.
What's up with that?
Well, we thought that there was an appetite for people who maybe want to cut back on alcohol, or maybe they're the designated driver for the night, or maybe they're pregnant, or for whatever reason, maybe they wanted something without booze. And their options are really limited, because that market is still limited to the big guys, like O'Doul's, Caliber, you know, non-alcoholic beers like that. And we were just like, well, why isn't a local brewery exploring that? And so we were pretty proud to announce that we're the first brewery in over 100 years in Minnesota to produce a locally crafted non-alcoholic beer.
And you're doing it with your home guys, Helles.
That's right, yeah.
Which is phenomenal. If you haven't gone out and had the regular version of the home guys, Helles, you should go get it. I brought some to a holiday gathering not that long ago at my folks' house, and I tossed some to my dad, and he's like, you never know what kind of beer this guy's going to bring over. And he's like, you know, oh, that's really good. And I'm like, I'm not going to bring bad beer over to your house, Dad. Thanks though. I appreciate it. But, you know, even guys in their 70s, like my dad, are really appreciating the craft beer stylings of Bauhaus. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a dirty little secret in the craft beer business that brewers like to drink light beer. Like, when we're done with a shift, I just want to have a light Pilsner or a Helles.
Yep.
And Home Guys presses all the right buttons. It's a 100% true to style Munich Helles beer. All German grown barley, all German grown hops, and our house lager yeast.
So walk us through the process. You guys are partnering with a local company to kind of make this happen.
Yeah.
How did this come together, and how does the technology work?
So I can't tell you how the technology works because it's way above my experience and my scope of knowledge.
Pixies and fairies.
But I know some dangerous words that might give some listeners a clue to what they're doing. What they're doing at ABV Technology, it's a startup company. We're literally the first brand that is working with them to put out this NA product. They use a method that's patent applied for called fractional distillation.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses a column, you know, not unlike a distiller's column.
Shelley, do you know something about fractional distillation?
No, I know nothing about it.
Really what it is in layman's terms, from what I understand, is it's just separating the components.
Yep.
You know, it's just separating the ethanol from the rest of the beer.
Yep.
And then what we get two byproducts. We get ethanol, and the other output is water. Mm-hmm. I mean, so they're adding back certain things. They're kind of separating out the components and then adding them back selectively on the back end.
Yeah, so if I understand the process correctly, and I probably don't, is by fractal distillation, you can isolate the different parts fractally that you want to remove from the product, right?
That's right.
And so you remove those, and in this case, it's going to be ethanol, and put everything else back in.
That's right. And I guess the difference with their process and what makes it unique is that it leaves a lot of the volatile aroma compounds and flavor compounds intact, so that you get a lot more of the natural beer flavors in an otherwise non-alcoholic beverage. And it's really cool. I just had some before I came over here, and you know, I'm not going to say that it tastes indistinguishable from the alcoholic beer. It doesn't. But for a non-alcoholic beer, it tastes really, really good. You get nice malt qualities and
hop
qualities.
What are some of the differences? Like if you were to put one side by side,
so
some of the key differences.
Alcohol creates a perception of sweetness when you drink it. And so without that sweetness, it tastes a lot more dry. It actually doesn't coat your mouth like an alcoholic beverage would. So it's a lot drier tasting on the palate. And also the hops come through a little bit more than they would without that sweetness to balance out the bitterness of the hops in the beer.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But you get more malt character too without the alcohol sweetness. Then you're left with maltiness. And it's really cool. It's like you get to taste that malt, and it's really nice.
Was this something that you heard from people, you know, visiting the taproom? Because I can, you know, I never thought of it before, but when you said, you know, when you were talking at the beginning of the segment about why you did it, it makes perfect sense, because taprooms have become a social gathering place.
Right.
A family destination for a lot of us.
In a place where families go.
Yep.
And so it makes absolute total sense that you're going to have people there that probably are feeling like they want to, you know, get drunk, or they don't want to drink, they don't want to get a buzz, they've got to drive for whatever reason, they're pregnant, but they still want to take part in all of that social activity.
Right.
And, you know, without some options to drink while they're there, they're probably not going to be all that excited about hanging out in a tap room. And
sure.
Now, you know, you give them an option, it makes absolute sense, and I'm surprised it hasn't been done before.
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple different NA options in the tap room. We have, you know, some craft root beer and kombucha, and that's cool and stuff, but, you know, I think that people who either are choosing to not drink or they have a reason that day to not drink, being able to participate with a beer in your hand, you know, I don't know, it feels more inclusive.
Yeah.
And that's a big priority for us as a brand, is inclusivity. And so, you know, creating an atmosphere where you can feel like, hey, I'm just hanging out with my friends, I'm no different than them, I got a pint in my hand just like everyone else. I mean, that there's something to that. It's definitely a shared experience at that point.
So how is the fractal distillation process different than the way a typical, like, you know, larger brewer would go about creating an NA beer?
You know what? I'm not even sure what the big brewer's process is. I'm sure it's really technologically advanced.
Sure.
Probably even compared to what ABV is doing, although what they're doing sounds like it's a totally new process. I mean, they're patent applied for a process. I honestly don't know what the big brewers do to get their NA beer. I do know that in the last couple of years, though, a lot more craft breweries have been exploring this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could remember, there's a brewery in Canada that does almost exclusively NA beers using a proprietary process that's similar to fractional distillation. And they're getting great feedback from customers. And they're doing everything from light malty beers like our Helles to IPAs. And they've had success with it. So I think we're going to see a lot more of it in the coming years. And I know ABV Technology is super excited to start partnering with other Minnesota breweries to create NA creations too.
I think it's neat. I think it's exciting. Do you have plans to put the NA version of Home Guy Helles out into cans, into the greater marketplace? And do you have plans to go NA with any of your other beers as well?
Okay, I'll take those questions in order. So yes, we do have plans to potentially put them in cans eventually. What we're doing right now is just essentially some market testing on draft at first, and seeing how it does in the tap room. Assuming that it does well in the tap room, then we'll offer it to some select retail accounts, some on-prem accounts. And then if we can scale it and make it cost effective and still profitable for us in cans, we will. The thing is, you know, that I hope customers can accept is that, you know, we're not charging more for this beer, although we really should, because it costs more to make.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, first of all, brew a full-strength beer.
Yeah.
Then we have to send it out for processing for a fee to remove the alcohol. Then we get it back. you know, and we might end up making a different beer for the NA product based on how, you know, this process works, because like I said, you can taste the hops a little more.
Yeah, so would you make it sweeter on the front end so that it comes out sweeter on the back end?
Well, that's what we're thinking. That's what we're going to, so we're kind of in the exploratory phase. You know, we're just starting out with this, but I would love to be able to put it in cans someday. That if we can do that, we definitely will. And then your second question, yes, we do want to do more NA beverages. I think probably our Schwartz beer is the next up.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming by. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That's going to wrap it up. We are out of time for this week's edition of the Minnesota Beer Cast. Thanks to Three Squares for having us out for their Dark Nights Darker Beers event. We will be back with a brand new episode next week presented by our friends from Freehouse Beer.
Cheers. I have casually mentioned the fact that I like